The following presentation is for information only and is not intended as medical advice. Consult a physician before using any of the methods or products described here. This program should not be taken as endorsement of any products or methods featured in this presentation. Welcome to another edition of The Nature of Longevity, where we explore how to restore our health by reversing damage that's triggered by the environment. I'm your host, Douglas Mulhall. If you know someone with high blood pressure, or a heart condition, or you have a family history of it, you'll want to hear this. For many people, standard therapies don't work that well. They keep us going for a time, but then they gradually fail, and the doses have to be increased. Some dedicated cardiologists, emergency medics, and researchers are proving that innovative approaches work better when they target environmental triggers that standard therapies don't. To be clear, these aren't cures, but they have produced clinical evidence that the effects of cardiovascular disease are reversible and often preventable. One of the pioneers in this field is Gary Mazzo, CEO of Nanobiotech Pharma, who invented a nutraceutical that's used and endorsed by some of America's best-known cardiologists. Since 1997, his formulation has been used by clinicians whose open-label clinical studies have shown measurable improvements in patients when standard therapies failed. Many patients who benefited from it have testified to the beneficial effects. Back in 2004, my partner Katja Hansen and I wrote a book called The Calcium Bomb, describing the scientific and clinical evidence for reversing coronary artery calcification. As part of that book, we examine the Mazzo formula. While this podcast might seem to be about this single product, it is actually a symbol for a wider movement in healthcare to do what standard therapies have been unable to do, reverse the effects of the condition by targeting something else. So what has happened in the years since we wrote the book? Well, one thing hasn't happened. The formula hasn't gone away. Instead, it's recommended by some of America's leading integrative cardiologists. While the administration method has changed, the formula itself has not, according to its inventor. One thing that has changed is that we know a lot more about some of the environmental triggers for heart disease, like low-grade infection and toxic metals, and we know that standard therapies don't target them. Since 1997, the non-prescription formula developed by Gary Mazzo has been applied in North and South America, Europe, and China, and today we're going to hear about how and why it was invented and some of the results being reported. Can you go over generally the ground that you have seen from anecdotal evidence to open-label clinical trial evidence of the effect of your product on patients?
That is a deep and broad question. Our goal with NanoBACTX is to address atherosclerosis head to toe. My purpose for developing the formula was to reverse or improve my own coronary artery disease, because I didn't think I was going to get to live very long. And after taking my formula personally, my CAC score went from 732, which is a high risk, to zero. And it is still zero. I just had a CAC score done, and this has been 20 some odd years more. I just had a CAC score done, and it's still zero.
Just a note for our audience, CAC score is your coronary artery calcium score. It's an indication of how much calcification is in your arteries.
And that's because I continue to take my NanoBACTX every day. My wife puts the capsules in a little bowl by the sink and watches me take them. I think that she wants to keep me around. Well, when I was seeing patients of my own patients, I did baseline studies on all of them. I did CAC scores on all of them. I treated them with NanoBACTX for free. I repeated their CAC scores at a period of 4 months, and then 6 months, and then 8 months, and then a year for those that would continue. But the bottom line is in 90 patients. Now, this is a pilot study. This is not a formal observation. It's only my observation of my patients that had positive CAC scores and had known coronary artery disease. They all improved, all of them. The average decrease in CAC scores was 86.5%. And now some of the people had CAC scores from 0 to 100. And so a lot of them were a lot higher. And if they had zero CAC score, they didn't get treated.
And what were some of the other, if any, improvements that you and other physicians who have used this have observed in their patients?
Well, visual acuity almost universally improves. I will say that there's almost within a first month, someone will have an aha moment of crystal clarity, which it's been described that they just feel better, think better. People that have anginal chest pain usually would improve their situation within the first month. And in that study, those patients that did have angina, they didn't have any angina after the first month at all. And so exercise tolerance improved. We've seen people that knew they had kidney stones, reports of them, the kidney stones not being painful and just like smooth little BBs coming out in their urine.
I understand that Dr. Daniel Shashkes at the Cleveland Clinic many years ago published a study showing that prostate patients who had prostate stones that could not be resolved in any other way, actually those prostate stones were dissolved. Is that correct?
Yes, that's exactly correct. I met with Dr. Shashkes and challenged him. He's pretty much known as the number one prostate expert in the world, and the NIH uses him, and he's published textbooks on prostatitis and et cetera, many papers. I challenged him to give me his worst patients that did not respond to any of his conventional methods whatsoever. And I want the people that call you in the middle of the night crying, can't work, the train wrecks. I wanted his train wrecks. He laughed in my face. He said, well, you better be careful what you ask for. I said, bring it. So those people all improved. I asked him at the NISHU component of the study, I said, we'll treat these people however many you want. He chose 19 of his worst patients. The people that couldn't even work because their prostatitis was so bad. I asked him, I said, if they all improve, do you promise to publish it in the Journal of Urology? And he said, yes, it's a deal. So he treated his patients. We supplied the NanoBacTX and gave him the parameters on how to dose it, et cetera. And they all got better and he published it in the Journal of Urology.
For anyone in the audience wanting to check out that study, the title is Anti-Nanobacterial Therapy for Men with Chronic Prostatitis, Chronic Pelvic Pain Syndrome, and Prostatic Stones Preliminary Experience in the Journal of Urology. This was published in 2005, and that was, of course, many years ago. And in the rest of this interview, we're going to find out why and what happened after that.
Now, we know that PSA scores returned, lowered to almost normal in people with elevated PSAs. Now, we don't know about its effect in any other prostate issues. The number one prostate issue of concern is prostate cancer, of course. We have no idea what the effect might be or benefit at all.
That would require further study. Can you explain, so what happened after that? Did the work continue?
Dr. Shashkes continued to use it in his very worst patients. He wanted to do a larger clinical trial, and it had to be a very formal trial, and it had to be done with Cleveland Clinic blessing and their IRB blessing, and it would have involved millions of dollars to get this trial done, to prove in a greater effect. That stands today. Dr. Shaskis today, the last time I met him in Cleveland over dinner, I said, well, you know, what can we do to extend this? And he said, it will have to be a formal clinical trial, and you would have to work with payment for that clinical trial with the Cleveland Clinic Administration.
So basically, you run into the same situation where it's not profitable for a lot of interest groups, and therefore it's difficult to fund something like that. Is that correct?
Right. I mean, I don't have extra, you know, $2 to $10 million laying around to doing nothing to throw at this.
That seems to be a structural issue facing the nutraceuticals industry in general as well. It's not just limited to Nanobac TX. Is that correct?
Yes, that is absolutely correct. Most funding for clinical trials and studies is actually supported through the efforts of the big pharma companies. And they donate billions of dollars for medical research. They will not fund something that they don't own.
A lot of patients apparently say, well, can I take this when I'm taking my existing meds? Should I go off my meds?
Well, we've not seen any adverse interaction with any standard medical prescription therapy. Most people will take their medications according to how they're directed by their physician. Nanobac TX is administered at bedtime. Most people, if they have prescription medicines, will take them, you know, when they wake up or at noon or whatever, but it's very seldom at bedtime. And we've not seen any interference at all.
Is there anything that you would like to add to that?
Well, we have seen the need for a lot of their standard medicine prescription therapies decrease. We've seen decreases in type 2 diabetics not needing their metformin or diabetic meds. Now, what does that mean? Well, I can't really, that would be a medical claim. And I can't address that further. But if they don't have any angina or chest pain when they're active, then they don't need to be taking their nitroglycerin. If their blood pressure is determined that it's in a normal range, then they may not meet the criteria for hypertension and may not need their blood pressure medicines in the future. And so if a patient's vision improves, well, you know, an ophthalmologist could look at their eye grounds in a slit lamp and see that they can actually visualize their arteries and veins and see that there's an improvement. On photos, their blood flow to the retina is improved. And well, with that, you get better vision.
And for diabetics, a particular problem is peripheral artery disease or the closing of the arteries to the extremities, the arms and legs. Have you noticed any difference there?
Yes. We get some pretty interesting commentaries from relatives and physicians. One gentleman in Peru, very famous man, and I can't mention his name, his mother was to have her legs remove above the knee, both legs. She couldn't walk. Her legs were blue. She had not been able to walk, and they had planned to literally remove her legs. She started the formula, Nanobac TX, and 3 months later, he sends me a video of his report about his mother. His mother's legs look normal. She did not have to have her operations.
Why is it so important to combine this well-known food preservative, and perhaps you can say a word about what it is, this EDTA, with a range of nutraceuticals in order for it to be effective?
I invented Nanobac TX in 97 in order to reverse. I developed the formula in order to reverse my own coronary artery disease. I knew about a therapy called chelation. I had some experience with it. Friends, physicians that used EDTA, which is a synthetic amino acid that was developed in the 40s in Germany by a scientist to remove heavy metals from a process. It's a distant relative of acetic acid, which is essentially a vinegar. It is a synthetic amino acid, and it has been found to be safe in humans. Orally, they use it as a food preservative, and it is very safe.
And okay. Would you say that EDTA is a type of imitation of nature in the sense that there are a number of foods that are also chelators, but they're not as powerful? So would you say we basically learned from nature how to do this and then made that more powerful through EDTA?
Well, I don't know about the mind of the scientist that developed EDTA as a synthetic amino acid, but he knew obviously that vinegar has chelating properties. And his synthetic version was able to bind lead and heavy metals and extract them from a process for dyeing clothing. In the 40s also, there were a lot of battery factories, and a lot of people were dying with lead toxicity, and there were no answers on how to help these people. This very same gentleman, to my knowledge and reading, this very same gentleman decided to treat a patient that was terminal with lead poisoning with an injection of the synthetic amino acid EDTA. And lo and behold, the patient got better.
How did we get from there to treating cardiovascular disease?
A lot of other things got better. When they were treating people with lead poisoning, they also noticed that a lot of other things improved. Now, these were administered by physicians, you know, in the past, and treating for lead poisoning and other heavy metal poisonings. It became in an alternative medicine format and a way to treat and improve people with cardiovascular disease. Now, whether it was the side mechanism of action of removing heavy metals that was causing the greatest benefit by using EDTA, or whether it was the noticed side improvements that were anecdotal. They weren't trying to fix these other things, but they noticed that kidney stones got better. Gallstones improved. Prostatitis improved. Vascular performance and exercise tolerance seemed to improve. And they didn't know why, but it caused no adverse effect. So alternative medicine physicians decided to use EDTA, and they called it chelation therapy. It was only accepted by these alternatively minded physicians that used it. Mainstream medicine and cardiology is not really accepted the use of EDTA chelation therapy for many, many years. The surgeons and standard cardiologists have not accepted it as mainstream even yet today, even though its safety and efficacy has been shown lots of times. There was a tomato effect, and that tomato effect is that everybody thought that just if you used EDTA chelation therapy, it was quackery. So the mainstream physicians, even today, have not really fully accepted it because they prefer to use standard pharmaceuticals to treat the symptoms of disease rather than to try to eradicate the underlying problem and disease.
Okay, so let's then transit to the combination of EDTA with nutraceuticals and your decision to do that and why you did it.
Well, EDTA, for myself, I mean, I have given myself chelation therapy in the past, IV. I had no problems with it, but it was very inconvenient. It takes 3 or 4 hours. You have to have an IV in your hand. And I started my IVs on myself, and it's just generally not all that pleasant of a situation.
Just for our audience, IV is intravenous, and it involves the insertion of a needle into the arm.
Correct. Yes. And so I thought over this situation because, you know, I wanted to be able to reverse my own heart disease. And my CAC score was 732. The calcification was present in my arterial tree and my coronary arteries. And I wanted to be able to make a formula that would address calcified component of plaque and enzyme systems that would ultimately break down soft plaque, nutraceuticals to cause minute vasodilation so that the formula, once it was taken orally, would go deeper into the vascular tree.
And just for our audience, what is vasodilation?
Vasodilation is just when the blood vessels are caused to open more and allow more blood to flow through to tissues. So what I ended up was with my formula, and it is a combination of enzyme systems, vasodilators, growth hormone stimulants, EDTA, chelating sequestering agents that have been shown effective in reducing CAC scores and improving patients' exercise tolerance and ability to exercise, and with all testing abilities, improve their situation.
Just talking about the growth hormones that you mentioned for a moment, what is the function of those?
Well, it's a repair mechanism, but the enzyme systems and amino acids will help to break down soft plaque. The synthetic amino acids also, they're in a proper ratio that if found in the bloodstream while you're sleeping, will stimulate the pituitary to produce more normal levels of growth hormone, which is a stimulating effect in the endocrine system.
So that's to say that you're both repairing with some elements and restoring with others. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Are there any other key elements to that?
I don't want to give away a lot of the trade secrets because I really don't, you know, we've gone through many, many years of researching this formula and keep it protected. And so there is a proprietary blend of ingredients that work in synergy to our desired effect.
So there is this very important cynicism out there in the chelation community that basically goes like this. Chelation works, but oral chelation doesn't, because the stomach acids destroy the medicinal value of these substances. Is this claim accurate? And how have you been dealing with that?
Well, synthetic amino acids or natural amino acids are byproducts of metabolism, okay? And the stomach is designed to dissolve these components. You know, proteins from meats, et cetera, are broken down by the stomach and our enzyme systems to arrive through the process of digestion, building blocks that our body uses to keep us healthy and functioning normally for energy, for repair, etc. Now, that being said, synthetic amino acids like EDTA, which is ethylene diamine tetraacetic acid, which is a relative of acetic acid, which is a relative of vinegar, will be destroyed by the stomach. The acidity will destroy it. And so if you take EDTA and you swallow it, it will be 95% destroyed in the stomach. And so you won't get the EDTA in the bloodstream. It gets destroyed. This is true. And many, many people have tried to use EDTA orally. And whether they wrap it in lysosomes or whatever they attempt, the stomach defeats their processes. My formula uses a patented capsule. These capsules, when taken at bedtime, will bypass the stomach's destructive acidity and be absorbed in the small bowel at a set pH about an hour and a half after you swallow them. So then they're dissolved at that set pH in the small bowel and absorbed. So we are able to get therapeutic levels of EDTA and other ingredients because we've bypassed the stomach.
The answer that some give to it, say, okay, you've bypassed the stomach, but do you succeed in then getting through the lining of the small intestine?
Absolutely. We have done serum blood levels. We know that we have therapeutic levels of serum EDTA and other ingredients. We've done in-house studies by scientists independently, and we have proved that even 12 hours post-administration, serum levels, blood levels, are still good enough to be therapeutic.
And what is it in the human metabolism that makes nighttime administration of this product so effective compared to also daytime administration of IV chelation?
Well, IV chelation has to be done pretty much in the daytime because you're not going to get a nurse to come and administer this IV EDTA at your home while you're sleeping. That's just reasonable. Now, when they administer IV EDTA in an IV bag and the nurse is watching it and supervising the activity, it takes about 3 to 4 hours. And the patients are usually eating snacks or bananas or fruit or whatever. And they have to go to the bathroom. You know, normal excretion and normal levels of metabolism are occurring while you're awake. Metabolic activity, on the other hand, when you're sleeping, metabolic activity is slowed remarkably. The blood pressure is decreased. Your pulse rate is decreased.
some physicians, especially functional medicine physicians, say, well, it's not decreased, it's changed because there's a repair process going on at night. What would you say to that?
Well, that is true. The repair process is effective, but you know, the normal metabolic activity that you would expect in the daytime when, you know, you're doing things and you're up and you're about, you're digesting your food, you're walking, you're exercising, you're running, just sitting at your desk, you know, you're awake, everything's on. But yes, the repair processes do occur. We're actually augmenting it by increasing growth hormone levels during sleep. That would augment the repair process.
When we telescope back and we look at 49,000 people a day are dying from heart disease globally, we look at this being probably the costliest disease on the planet. And we look at so many people who are desperate for a solution. First of all, why haven't more people adopted this? And secondly, why is it that it seems that more people in Asia are open to this type of approach?
Well, let me address the first part of the question. Patent medicine uses prescriptions to treat symptoms under the auspices of, oh, if there are no symptoms, then the patient is either better or they're not calling our office. The underlying disease process is not changed by current medications. The underlying disease process that causes cardiovascular disease is unaffected by standard medical care. They wait for an event. Now, a cardiovascular disease specialist, they are either invasive cardiologists or standard cardiologists. Standard cardiologists generally use a prescription pad to treat disease, and they treat the symptoms. They believe that the absence of symptoms causes the patient to have less symptoms, and therefore they think that maybe the underlying disease process may have been slowed. The invasive cardiologists prefer to invade, and they do this with a cardiac cath, and they place stents. They open blood vessels with propping them open and not affecting the underlying disease process, the inflammatory response, and our body's response to the cause of the inflammation. They're not treating that. So the problem is our medical system doesn't address things that happen body-wide. Medicine is taught by organ systems, the endocrine system, the neurovascular system, the cardiovascular system, the skin, etc. They don't address atherosclerosis, which impairs every organ system from starting from birth to death. Atherosclerosis is the symptom of an inflammatory infectious response as far as what we've been able to scientifically determine. Now, we can't get physicians, cardiovascular surgeons that make their money doing bypass surgeries, or invasive cardiologists that make their money and living doing cardiac caths and putting in stents. And then there's the medical aspect and writing prescriptions. None of these things address the system-wide problem and the development of atherosclerosis, narrowing of the arteries head to toe, the cause of organ dysfunction, head to toe, and our decline. This is almost the cause of aging as we know it. It's the big picture.
Have you noticed that it is more readily accepted in Asia? And if yes, why do you think that is?
Well, Asia is totally different than us. And they have used herbal medicines and Oriental medicine for thousands of years. Oriental medicine is not taught to physicians in the United States. They have an entirely different approach to alleviating the maladies that affect humankind. So they are more open to alternative medicine. They don't do as many cardiac caths. They use it as an emergency situation. People just, they're more advanced than we are. They've learned everything we know, but we don't know all of the things that they've known for thousands of years. And so Nanobac TX and my formula, it goes like wildfire in Asia. And they also have a generational scenario where the young people have tremendous respect for their parents and grandparents and want to do everything to make them better. And so the prospect of helping to alleviate disease processes and improve the vascular benefit in their elderly population is very well accepted. Whereas in the United States, unfortunately, we don't have that level of respect for our parents or grandparents and elderly. That may be part of that problem.
If you want to learn more about Nanobac TX and other innovative approaches to reversing environmentally caused effects of cardiovascular disease, visit www.calcify.com, that's calcify.com, and sign up to receive notification of when my upcoming book, The Nature of Longevity, will be available. Also, visit Nanobiotech Pharma's website at www.nanobiotechpharma.com. That's nanobiotechpharma, all one word, .com. I'm your host, Douglas Mulhall, and this has been another edition of the Nature of Longevity series. Thanks for tuning in, and see you next time.